What was the result?
3-0. 3 premiership, 3 for me and 2 for them.
It's gone! Oh, can you believe this? Go, go, USA!
I prefer the sex.
And we are back. Welcome back, everyone. Well, everyone minus Hunter. It's been a long, long time. That's for multiple reasons, but we're back. It's the middle of the World Cup. The quarterfinals are on Saturday, and we got Chris and Pranav back in the house. So how you guys doing?
Good, good. Excited to be back recording.
I forgot this existed, but we're gonna have a good time today. Everyone's been enjoying the World Cup. That's the reason we haven't recorded. We've just been enjoying the World Cup too much.
Yeah, man. 3 months of enjoying the World Cup.
Okay, it wasn't quite 3 months.
It was I think October. I think it was.
It was right before the Liverpool City game.
Oh yeah, we had a prediction for that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, it was right before the Liverpool City game. Also, right before the Liverpool Leeds game. Anyway, right before Ronaldo, like, went nuts, like before Ten Hag benched Ronaldo. Well, we missed. I don't know. I was given specific instructions by Kieran to stay on the World Cup. So I guess we'll talk about it later.
Yes, this is the biggest tournament in soccer. So let's stick.
And none of the other leagues exist
currently. No, that's why they're all shut down at the moment. To be fair, I think the first thing that we should start off with all of us being American, we have to talk about how the U.S. did. And if we look at their how they did, they started off with a 1-1 draw to Wales, probably should have won the game, but Walker Zimmerman decided to completely end Gareth Bale's life for no reason with his back to the goal. And then 0-0 draw to England, which was like a big, I guess people kind of viewed that as a big win, but it was a pretty big deal. And then we finished off beating Iran 1-0 in a pretty shaky, nervy game. So, and then, you know, pretty standard loss to the Netherlands in the round of 16. I'll open up to both of you. I guess how did we feel about the tournament? Let's just have an open discussion about it.
I think overall, they got out of the group.
Yeah.
It's not like a fun position to be staring at the screen in the 99th minute, screaming at the top of your lungs while Iran is like,
should have,
you know, posing a serious threat at the end. Like, it's not like an ideal spot to be in.
I don't even know how good their team is in general. Like, do they have any European based players? Or, like, I'm assuming they do. I know Serdar Aziz.
They got Mehdi Taremi, who is pretty
good. Yeah, he's a savage. Love that guy.
They're not a bad team at all. I think that, like, we just kind of pretended they were, and we hoped they were, and it worked. And we got through them. I feel good. I actually feel great about the U.S. They just like we're struggling in like very clear places, and I think that's a much better place to be in than just being like, oh, this team lacks like all around luster, which is like kind of what we thought going in when we had our friendlies against Japan and Saudi Arabia. We kind of thought that my big point, like I made this point in the last pod, I think, I don't know what, yeah, I probably did, that we lacked desire, and that was like our big thing, was that we're youthful and we push and press and we're excited, and we lacked that, and I was like, oh, this team like has no identity. But I guess those claims were unfounded. My hope was that they'd be pushed by the stage of it being the World Cup, and they were, so that's all good. But yeah, I mean, we have one and a half, I guess, very glaring like holes, and that's we don't have a goal scorer. Like not even a number nine. We like straight up just don't have a goal scorer. Our goals aren't coming from anywhere. They're kind of coming by accident. And
well, I mean, like, Tim Weah had like a pretty good tournament, I'd say, even though what he scored one goal.
He had one goal. Yeah,
he did all right.
That's not
exactly. Like it was one good move, and it was one goal. And we just don't have a goal. Like, it doesn't have to be number 9. It just has to be a goal scorer, and we don't have one of those. You know.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're like City create like chance on chance on chance, and then like something goes in. We create a lot. That was something that was really cool. We create so much, but then like we don't have a final pass to be even to be like, oh, we created a chance, you know. You just create a ton of like opportunity to create a chance, and then we can't actually create a chance, and then from that we can't actually score, you know. So those I think are two biggest things, and like we probably need a center back for the next tournament, but that's kind of it.
I mean, okay, to be fair, during the Iran game and actually even the Dutch game, Walker Zimmerman, he's 29 now, but Walker Zimmerman was much like better than I expected him to be in the national team. I didn't realize he was actually like, he had a pretty Harry Maguire-esque performance in those four games that he played. So
that's not what I meant. Like, I think, to be clear, I think our center backs did great. I think we're like defensively, like, I was of the mindset that Walker Zimmerman got shot on too much for that Gareth Bale penalty. Like it was a little bit stupid. And he was going nowhere. But like, I don't know. There's part of you that's like, oh shit, Gareth Bale's on the ball. I got to do something, you know. And yeah, it was immature, but that's what happens when you don't play in the World Cup ever.
I mean, in general, I liked all our defenders. I mean, Tim Ream looked like a samurai out there. Fucking Walker Zimmerman was a big presence in the box. I didn't realize how fucking massive Cameron Carter-Vickers is. That is a pretty large human being. Our fullbacks were actually also, I mean, I thought Dest had a pretty good tournament. I think he motored around the field pretty well. And I also thought Anthony Robinson was good. I think that entire back line had a relatively good performance all around. They shut down well. They dealt with a lot of pressure. Our midfield broke down, I think, a little bit more than I would have liked. In general, like, I think we lost a lot of, like, especially against in the second half against Iran, I think we lost a lot of midfield battles, and they were getting the ball back in the middle of the field a little too easily, and then we were just getting a lot more pressure on ourselves. But yeah, I don't know.
And like the problem with that is that like that shouldn't have been a problem, you know. Like, international teams make mistakes because they're not drilled and they don't like play together. But like for teams of high quality, that's fine because they score enough for that not to really be a problem, you know. And the U.S., like, honestly, like if we had a goal scorer, we honestly may have beaten Netherlands. And I say that like acknowledging that Netherlands is a better team, and they Van Gaal tactically just slaughtered us. But at the same time, like, we did have a higher XG, which like isn't for nothing, you know. It just means if we had a guy who could shoot the ball in the goal, we'd have goals. And whether that be like Daley Blind or whoever, Netherlands had that guy. They had multiple of those guys. So
Daley Blind and Memphis, Dental, baby. Dumfries.
Yeah,
but, Dumfries.
Go ahead.
If we had Haaland, we would have won. If we had Haaland against Holland, we would have
won. No, because we honestly couldn't have gotten the ball to Haaland. We don't know how to make that final pass. You know?
I think our chance creating was pretty good. We just don't have anyone who can put the ball in the back of the net.
No, what do you want? But every single time they try these like intricate build-up moves, it would work fine in the midfield, you know, because they have a better understanding of the midfield. They'd overload the wide areas. That'd be all good. But when it came to actually like putting the ball in the center, that pass would always be so weak. They did it once or twice, maybe. And again, if Pulisic puts away that chance in the third minute, it's a totally different game. I think my theory is that like he got the ball to his feet in the third minute, and then he was like, there's just absolutely no way that I got the ball at my feet in the third minute of a World Cup round of 16 knockout game. And I'm not offside. I think he just assumed he was offsides and just kind of like just threw his foot at it instead of taking it down.
To be fair, I actually think that chance was a lot harder than people like are acting. Like, yeah, he had the ball at his feet, but it was a pretty awkward bounce. The ball was rising at him.
He had time to take a touch. He totally had time to take a touch.
But the goalie is a 6'8" dude who's like,
he's 6'8", bro.
He was right there. I think if he took a touch, he would have. It would have been a much harder chance. He had to take it first time. I don't
have
know if
to
you
watch
had
it again,
any
but I
questions.
my every time I watch that replay, I was like, he had time to take a touch. Cause, but yeah, the goalie's 6'8", but he's also like a pretty inexperienced goalkeeper.
I don't know, dude.
I don't
I mean,
remember his
like,
name, but you've never heard of him.
no,
No,
that's
not
the,
Van der Sar. He's not even Cillessen.
I think that's the whole point of his story right now. People are talking about, I mean, sidetracking, I mean, people are talking about that guy because nobody knows who he is and that he like quit professional soccer, like, or he was supposed to quit professional soccer like a year ago and then decided to go at it again and then has now made the Dutch national team. Like, I
But
don't know.
he's not a world beater. He's just like a totally average goalkeeper.
I know, but I, it's, I think that I think Pulisic, I don't think he's been getting flack for that chance, but I think that was a much harder chance than people like. It was just, it was technically he would have had to. I mean, I don't know. He's also our best player, so maybe I should be harder on
Yeah,
him.
I was gonna say no. Well, I think the reason he hasn't been getting flack is because he played so well during the entire tournament, and that he sort of. Like yeah, it's the same reason like Tyler Adams, like we're not going out of, like neither Tyler Adams nor Pulisic are gonna become Wando figures, you know? Because
Yeah.
Tyler Adams had an incredible tournament. He played phenomenally the whole tournament.
Killed
He
it.
switched off like 1.5 times, and he let in 2 goals by doing that against the Dutch. And whether that's fitness or just the Dutch were just too smart when Memphis Depay went when Depay and Blind kind of just like occupied the exact position that he was supposed to be in, score both those goals, the same exact goal twice. Yeah, like we're not gonna crucify him for that, you know? He's inexperienced, he's young. And he gave way more than those chances took, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
So
in general, I mean, who are the standout players for you guys in general? I mean, we've already touched on Tyler Adams and Pulisic. I thought Weston McKennie also had a great tournament. And who, I mean, do you guys have any other people that you really?
I liked Dest a lot, at least in the Netherlands game. I thought there was like some good things happening on the right side with Weah. So,
I mean, I guess there are more bright spots than I'm starting to think now that
that's
I
the
think
thing.
about
Like, no one really had a bad tournament, which is,
it. Yeah.
I mean, except for that black hole that is the striker position.
The striker position had a bad tournament.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, you could say that. I mean, who were the striker positions? Haji, right? I mean, who scored that goal, I think was insane, but.
Right, and then he didn't score the one where he took the ball like he had literally an open goal.
Yeah.
He didn't score it.
Haji
And
Wright, Jordan Morris, Josh Sargent, that contingent of new strikers that we played every single game. Who's the striker from Dallas? Ferreira, I think.
yeah, well, Ferrer was not good. He's too small to play against Virgil van Dijk, in a system where the Netherlands were fine to sit back and didn't think Ferreira was a threat. But like I said, like if Pulisic scores that first chance, then the Netherlands have to play more expensive. And then they don't have those like lightning counterattacks that they had both times. Like every single part of that, I think the most like consensus I've ever seen from any pundits on anything is like how perfect that counterattack was. USA when Netherlands scored that first goal. Just like every pass was doing something, every pass was advancing the ball. It got squared back, and then Dumfries was, or not Dumfries, whatever. Depay was just there to finish it off. But I don't know. If you look at the possession stats, we had more possession, but at the same time, like all of that was kind of just like Ream and Zimmerman passing it back and forth. Which, like, I don't
Yeah.
know, fair enough. None of them can play like the Van Dijk like diag to hit Robert Anthony Robinson or desk like up on the wing. So that's what I meant by saying like center back, you know, like someone who can ball play and someone who
Yeah.
offers a little bit more going forward. But I thought, like, I mean, Turner was also phenomenal. I'm overall happy.
All right.
I mean, do any of you have any more? I have there's like one more subject I want to broach on the US MNT, but I don't want to bring it up until everyone else has had their say, because I think we'll go far into that. I'm sad Hunter's not here, because I think that he would have had a lot to say, but
He is not. I don't know. Overall, I mean, it was a good tournament, but I we didn't qualify for the last one. But going out in a round of 16 seems to be like the standard that I have become accustomed to throughout my entire life. And that doesn't seem to have changed regardless. I mean, like the only difference that between this one and the last World Cup is that we qualified for this one. But in general, we just always go out in knockout rounds. I want to go to a quarterfinal at least and play like some big nations at some point. But who knows? Who knows when that'll happen? The future looks... I have no idea how the future looks. I feel like you and Hunter can probably tell me about that more than I can. So
I think 2026, like I saw some stat on Instagram, like all these players are going to be in their prime in 2026. They're going to be 26, 28 years old, as opposed to, you know, 22 and 24. So
Raina's going to be 23. Excited.
Yeah. Raina will be young.
That's disgusting. Dude,
it was annoying me when they kept going about how he's from fucking New York City. They were like, Gio Reyna, he was born in New York City, or wasn't born in New York City, but grew up in New York City. I was like, he's from Bedford, New York. That's not New York City. That's
welcome to the 2026 World Cup is going to be played in New York. No, it's not. It's going to be played in New Jersey.
It's like not New York City. He's from like the most fucking rich ass white suburban place that you can think of. Like,
both his parents were accomplished soccer players, so like I'm like it's not like surprised at anyone. It's not like people thought that.
Like the commentator like talking about that for like a solid minute. He was just like, you know, Gio Reyna from New York, born, and I was like, the fuck are you talking about? But. And then I think they talked about Tim Weah being from New York when Tim Weah like was just like born in Brooklyn. There were a lot of like Northeastern soccer players. Actually, I was looking through the squad. I think a lot of people, except for like Weston McKinney, a lot of people are from like Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, like this Northeastern region of the States. So I might as well just rename the
Brendan
team.
Brendan Aaronson.
Yeah. Also from New Jersey. Gio Reyna's from New York. I guess Timothy Weah is from New York. And
Zach Steffen's from New York, but
Matt Turner's New Jersey.
Not there.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It's a very like, and I think one guy was Pulisic from Pennsylvania, which I think counts in that little region as well. So Tyler Adams is from New York. So very New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, like New England contingent in this U.S. squad, except for Weston McKinney, besides him. So I thought that was interesting.
So I want to, I don't know if you guys have any strong opinions on I know Hunter does, which is again a shame that he's taking his final, but Greg Berhalter, how are we feeling?
Oh yeah, that was actually what I was gonna lead off with. Do we think he will or end off do we think he'll keep his job? And do we think he should keep his job? I personally don't think he should keep his job. I think he should be fired. He's done nothing like this was what he was supposed to do, and he I think maybe even underperformed a little bit, and it's not like his tactics were all that great. Like he didn't very little forward progression, like lost a lot of midfield battles, and even though I still think the players performed well, I think actually lost most of our games on tactics. So
I mean, I don't think you lose your job by doing your job. He did what was expected. So I don't think he'll get fired. Should he get fired? Maybe, but I don't think he will.
So I think this was Hunter's take that we got this far despite Greg, not because of him. I disagree. Like I don't disagree like entirely, but I think that I don't necessarily think he like added anything tactically, but I also at the same time I think that it's really unfair to say that it was despite him. I think one of my favorite ideas was to keep him on, like USSF, and then keep him on USSF, and then have someone else take the coaching role. I mean, I don't know who. I don't have a database of American coaches in my head or coaches that could coach at this level in my head. But I think I was pretty anti-Greg. Going into the tournament, and then just like during the tournament, just like watching how everyone played, like I don't know, I'm a sucker for like the USMNT content, like watching all of that. Like I was pretty pro Greg, and I think that he did get a lot of things right, but there's just like no substitute for like the experience and the knowledge that like someone like Van Hall has, but also at the same time I think part of the reason that I did fall in love with him is like this tournament is because of the football that we played. And I think that's a formula for like losing matches in international, like in international tournaments, specifically because like you don't have the kind of cohesiveness to play that way in international football, whereas like you do at club level. And it, on any level, it's really hard to play kind of like wheeling and dealing, like super fun soccer. While Chris said in the chat, every manager that leaves United kills it. Yeah, fair enough. We should get David Moyes as our the 2026 manager.
I would take that.
But yeah, like it's just not feasible to play that sort of like really exciting high octane football. And like I really wish it were, because like I mean I love that Liverpool plays it, and I think it's super super fun. But it's mostly just like game management tactics that international managers need, and Greg didn't have that. And so yeah, I mean I don't think he should stay as manager, but I don't say that as like a slight. I say that as like this team needs to move forward, and he's not necessarily the person to do that. But like I don't know, I thank him for what he did. Someone say something, please.
Maybe. I'll think about it. I don't know. I'm looking forward to 2026. I think I'd be like pretty surprised if we didn't make the quarterfinals in 2026, especially given we're hosting. So, but that's, you know, something we can spend the next 4 years talking about, I suppose. So.
Well, I mean, speaking of 2026, like we don't have to qualify for that, which means like one of the really big talking points is that all our international matches, like all our like super important international matches that like mean something, are kind of taken away. Like there's the Gold Cup, and then there's like the Nations League, but like those are both like the tournaments, you know.
Well, I mean, like if you say that though, like then all we have is World Cup qualifying. Like I think the Gold Cup is like, I would say I think both are fun matter. Like you're expected to win both. If you don't win both, then something's wrong with the national team.
Wait, also that's a point for Greg. Like you were disparaging him, but like he won trophies. Like
I guess he did win those. I was more like, dude, that Iran game is the reason I think he should be fired. Like that was, I mean, we won it, but like
he set up the team right, as in like every US soccer fan would have set the team up that way. But I think he was great for like what he was, but I agree. He doesn't have good in-game management. I think it was pretty awful, and that's like a pretty common consensus. But again, like I don't. At the end of the day, he won trophies, and he beat Mexico three times. And it was exciting. It was like it made us happy every time, you know. So we can't complain too much, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, sorry. The original point was, World Cup qualifying is like the only, like, remember when we won those tournaments and like everyone was just like, all right, well, we beat Mexico, great. We won the Nations League, great. We won the Gold Cup, great. But like now is what matters, World Cup qualifying, you know. And I don't know if that's just because like we didn't qualify last time, or if that's like the actual mindset, but we don't have any of those matches anymore, you know, and those are important for like playing away in like Panama, you know. We don't know how to do that, and we won't have to next tournament. So, although I guess every game is a home game anyway, so I don't know.
I mean, the next up for the USMNT is we have to play El Salvador, and actually, if you look at in the CONCACAF Nations League, we are actually second in the group currently, behind El Salvador. So,
wait, there's a Nations League going on right now?
Yeah, I mean it's been going on, and we have our next round. Our next round of games will be in March, and we will be playing we have to play El Salvador and with Grenada, I think. One of the random CONCACAF islands. I have no idea what it is. We're second in the group. We have to beat both of them, actually. Both these games are must win, because I think we drew El Salvador, and El Salvador is like win against Grenada and unbeaten. They have a better goal difference than us, and something. You guys remember drawing El Salvador? Does anyone else remember that?
I vaguely remember drawing El Salvador because
So
that's
next
on the docket. We draw El Salvador again, guys. Like the problems are on the rocks in the Nations League.
We're in crisis mode again.
So, and the Gold Cups this summer as well, actually. So two relatively large tournaments. But
also, I mean, the rumors are floating that we got Copa America invites, or a Copa America invite, which is good. But at the same time, I just learned today that clubs aren't required to release players for like they're required to release players for international tournaments, but they're not required to release players like if you're like invited to an international tournament.
I've kind of had the idea that we should the Copa America and the Gold Cup should fold, and we should just be like inserted into the Copa America. I feel like
that. I mean, like fine, but like, good luck convincing the nations of the Copa America to do that. Like, we should just do the Euro. Actually, you know what? We should just do one big world tournament. Oh wait, that's the World Cup. Like,
no, we should just do a Copa because that, I think that would make it an infinitely better tournament. Like, unfortunately, the way South America is set up and North America is set up, there aren't a lot of countries, right? And they don't have to do a ton of qualifying. It's just kind of okay, Copa America. We're gonna just play it right now.
In South America,
huh?
There's a decent amount in South America. I just think that North America, just the way the land is split up, there's just three massive countries and then a couple of smaller countries.
I mean, South America
feels a little bit unfair, like, but you know.
In general, I think it would make it qualifying a little bit more fun. It would make, but like, I don't know. I got to go pitch that to FIFA. Be like the Americas, because
I mean, you guys remember the Confederations Cup?
Yeah, that got folded too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, I never really understood the point of it, when it existed. But at the same time, like, I don't understand why they got rid of it. You know, like, it just seemed like another World Cup, and now it's just like, why get rid of the other World Cup? It's like a cool thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm confused.
It was just a cup for the winners of the specific confederations, right? In their relative tournaments. And
that makes so much more sense.
Did you not know what the Confederations Cup was?
No, I really just like, I was like, oh,
the Confederations Cup is going
on. Oh, okay, yeah, the Confederations Cup. Because apparently no one knew. The
Confederations Cup makes so much sense.
Is a tournament where all the winners of the Gold Cup, the AFCON, the Euros, the Copa America.
Yeah, wait, why did they get rid of that? That's amazing. Like, now they got the Finalissimo or the Finalissima, which is not as cool.
The Asian Cup, and then the whole thing is that I can tell you exactly who plays the Confederations Cup.
You got 12 seconds or something.
It's those winners. Okay, the winners of all the things, then the previous winner of the World Cup, and then the host of the next World Cup.
That's pretty good. I like that.
I mean, that's what the Confederations Cup was. So
that's a good idea. That's FIFA's only good idea, and they got rid of it.
And they would have it in the. It was kind of like it's always kind of been used as like a mock tournament for the World Cup. So like you do it, you play the Confederations Cup the summer before the World Cup to show that, oh, this is what's happening, you know, international soccer is still happening and it's happening in this tour. So you play in the same country that the World Cup's happening in. So like the 2009 Confederations Cup, I'm pretty sure was in South Africa. But wait, so actually I'm a little confused. What did they replace the Confederations Cup with?
I'm assuming like Nations League, I guess.
I guess
it's not a direct replacement, and the finalissimo. I don't know. I don't know if it's a masculine or feminine final, but I think it's just like what's it called? I'm struggling to come up with the word, but basically it's just South America versus Europe, and none of the other cups matter.
No, that's fuck that. That's so stupid. There were 10 Confederations Cups and Brazil won 4 of them. So they're still the best team in that respect as well. So actually, to be completely cool, Mexico won a Confederations Cup back in 1999.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That is pretty cool, actually.
One Argentina. Oh, Denmark also won a Confederations Cup in 1995. Oh, also, the first three Confederations Cups were all held in Saudi Arabia. I have no idea why, but they were all held in Saudi Arabia. So,
oh, I know why.
I have no idea what FIFA's replaced this with. I actually like enjoyed that tournament, so it's kind of city.
Yeah, we were 45 minutes away from the US getting a Confederations Cup.
Yeah, FIFA confirmed the tournament will no longer be staged with a slot to be replaced. Oh, guess what? This is what we got it. The slot will be replaced by an expansion of the FIFA Club World Cup, as well as the 2021 FIFA Arab World Cup. So I don't know what the fuck the Arab World Cup is. I just think they just replaced the Confederations Cup with the Arab World Cup. So that's, I think the Arab Gold Cup is just a World Cup between the Middle East and North Africa. So they all just play.
They have their own continents though, with their own tournaments.
Yeah, but apparently the 2021 they played a tournament called the Arab Cup.
Who won it?
Algeria won it. They beat Tunisia. They beat Tunisia in the final, and Qatar was actually the third place team. I don't know if Mo Salah played this. Ah, dude, Yassine Brahimi won player of the tournament. I guess none of us just even realized that this tournament happened last year. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So all right, well, moving on. While the US was the focus of and the apple of our eye, there was an entire tournament that did, you know, proceed, and we are currently in the quarterfinals. So we're gonna run through each quarterfinal matchup and then also, you know, talk a little bit about how those teams got there. So we'll go from the order of the games themselves, because this kind of actually works pretty well. Our first game, it is Friday at 9 a.m. Not at 9 a.m. Friday at 10 a.m. It is Croatia versus Brazil. So Brazil's looked dominant in this tournament so far. They've won, I think, pretty much almost every game, if not every game. Somebody can fact check me on that.
Cameroon beat them.
Huh?
Yeah.
Cameroon did.
Abubakar took off his shirt in the 90th. Or whenever he scored.
Yeah, Vincent Abubakar, 90th minute header. So I guess Brazil did lose a game. But they have looked insanely dominant, meaning they 4-1 South Korea before this. They pretty much, you know, had they dominated the other teams in their group in Serbia and Switzerland.
I mean, they didn't score a first half goal until South Korea, when they scored. I mean, they scored four, but I don't think dominant is the word you'd use until the South.
You wouldn't describe them as dominant. Well, I mean, to Croatia, Croatia is coming. We can debate that, but Croatia is coming off a penalty shootout win against Japan. So where Japan, you know, forgot how to take penalties, apparently. So
I mean, you could say that until today, when Spain had
Spain really didn't know how to take penalties
today. Spain really tried to one up Japan.
Japan, like, at least Japan scored one. Spain scored nothing. So but yeah, so Brazil, Croatia. So here, I mean, speaking of Brazil, you guys obviously have some thoughts on them as well. I think they've looked like the best team in this tournament, even with that loss to Cameroon. How do you guys feel? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, Pranav's gonna get nervous talking about Brazil because he wants them to win. I feel good about Brazil. I think I've been saying it from the start. I think Brazil's gonna win the World Cup. I still stand by that. I think we'd all be pretty shocked if they didn't beat Croatia. I mean, it is possible. This World Cup has had plenty of upsets, so. Totally could happen. And I mean, Croatia made it to the finals. Let's not forget that last World Cup. With that being said, yeah, I think Brazil's gonna, you know, go away with this one. They've had their issues. I think Brazil has the best attack in the world at the moment. And I think overall they are a very good team.
I mean you're right in that it's bad juju for me to talk about the team that I want, but I think France has looked stupid. I mean, we'll talk more about France later, but like, I think France has looked ridiculously dominant. So I would argue that Brazil is not the most dominant team in this tournament. And I don't know. I'm like praying for like a Brazil France final. I think that would be like a firecracker of a game. I didn't see like much from Brazil. I mean, Richarlison had that like crazy goal, but that overhead kick goal against Serbia was, I mean, it was off like a missed touch. And that was like the only, I didn't watch a lot of Brazil in the group stage, but like that was like the only like crazy moment I saw. But Brazil against South Korea were like actual like a Jogo Benito, you know. That was just, they're just operating on a level different to anything that I've seen in this tournament.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like, I mean, we'll get to France in a sec. Like, Brazil did lose to Cameroon, but then France did also lose their last game to Tunisia. So,
okay, I mean, we're not counting. We're just fact checking you when you said they didn't, like, they were undefeated. Both of them played their second string lineups. They were both like in an effort to, like, in that game that France lost, they played they finished like playing their entire squad, if that makes sense. Like they played the rest of their squad that hadn't played any games. And Brazil did almost the same thing against Cameroon, except for the goalkeeper who came in at the end of the South Korea game. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that I think that Brazil obviously look sick, and they actually out. I don't know. I was listening to Tifa Football, who was talking about how they out-tacticked South Korea. I don't think they necessarily need to, but I think it's a promising sign that like it's not just like vibes anymore. It's more than that, and it's not just like Neymar. It's not, no one's carrying them. Richarlison's looking like a proper player, which is new. He hasn't scored at all this Premier League season, and all of a sudden he's going crazy this World Cup, which I guess like
it might be a situation where like a France Pogba situation with him, because I think he's always done like relatively well for Brazil. I think I watched that game with the first game with you when he scored that thing, and we saw he'd like 18 goals in like 30 games or something. Like that's a really good output in national team colors, especially when he's scoring 13 goals a year for Everton, if that, which is like on the higher end of his goal outputs. But I don't know. I still think between Brazil and France, I watched all of the France games as well. I just something about Brazil's like this, the ability to pull players off like the bench that are Martinelli is like the fourth string winger on this team, and
fifth string,
and he's a starter on the number one team in the Prem currently. Like the amount of talent that they can just pull off the bench, it's insane. And like I feel like every tournament, like when Spain won the World Cup in 2010, it was like this is their year, right? This is like the time. This is the best generation that they've ever had. When Germany won it, it was like it was their time. And France won it. It seems like for me, this seems like Brazil's time. Or as opposed to France, it doesn't feel like this is like the team that is there to win the World Cup. I don't know if that makes sense.
I don't know if we're watching the same game.
I think Mbappe has been insane, and he might bring.
That France team is good though, man. Like,
dude, I don't know. I mean, like, solid. Remember when we all were shitting on Adrian Rabiot? He's a starter.
Yeah, but he also he's been playing pretty well. I was talking to my girlfriend about how she's a big France supporter because she thinks Griezmann's pretty. Who also has been having one hell of a tournament.
She told me that she thinks that Griezmann used to be pretty in 2014 or 2016. Oh, right. Now she doesn't like him as much, but back then she liked him. So now that has still carried on, and she's
pretty boy gone ugly.
She's upset because she saw Griezmann in the 2014 World Cup and thought he was really attractive, and now is stuck supporting him. I guess, like, I don't know. She's a loyal person.
I mean, she told me that she doesn't like that he buzzed and bleached his hair.
Yeah, or that like phase where he had really long like hair and he just looked like a lion.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like any of that. But anyway, she still remains like a France supporter. And she legitimately gets more upset when France loses than when USA loses, which is a little bit concerning. But you know,
that sounds slightly upsetting for me. I don't.
But anyway, so. Where was I going with this? I don't remember. Oh, right. When Pogba and Kante both got injured, she was like worried, and I was just like, they got Kamavinga and Tchouaméni, you know, like.
Yeah, that's true.
Benzema gets injured. Giroud's having a wonderful tournament as well.
Man, no, but like, I really am pissed that he broke that Henry record. I don't know. Henry's Henry and Giroud is Giroud, bro. Like, I like him and I think he gets a lot of flack, but it's still like, still feels strange to say the top scorer for France is Olivier Giroud and not Thierry Henry. I hope Mbappe crushes that thing.
Mbappe's going to destroy it.
So, I don't know. Like, I think there's something in that. Like, if you show your grandchildren Giroud's goal compilation, they'll think this guy was like the best in the world. Same way, like, exactly. You show them Origi's, not Origi's goal compilation, but you show them, like, Origi's big moments, and they'll be like, this guy was a god.
But, I mean, okay, back to Brazil-Croatia. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on Croatia. They are the finalists from the last World Cup, and it is relatively a similar team, I would say.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah, so they are an old team, and they are, you know, but to be fair, I was saying this to my dad when we watched them beat Japan, that they are an old team, but they are still an informed old team. Like they're all their players are still in Europe, all their players are still playing on those big European teams, and all those players are still starters for those big European teams. So they may be all 30, like 35 now, but they're still like informed players and
Well,
still
you
in.
say that, but you're literally just talking about their midfield.
Well, their midfield, I mean, they still have Kramaric and Rebic and Perisic and whatnot up front. And I don't really know any Croatian defenders, to be honest. I don't think I can name a single.
Dejan Lovren, the best defender in the
Dude, did anyone see the ball
world.
that he played in for the Perisic goal against Japan? Did anyone watch that, see that goal? Lovren threw up like a fucking fireball from like the middle of the midfield. And Perisic had like an insane, like that goal is actually like a really impressive goal, like the Croatia goal versus Japan that tied the game, like middle of middle of the half cross, like, and then on the edge of the, not on the edge, but only like a little bit in the box that Perisic hit that header in. So I mean, I think, are we all in agreement that Brazil will beat Croatia?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. We would have also been in agreement that Morocco would have lost to France. So
Morocco would have lost to Spain.
that's the country, right? Yes.
That
That
one. Dude,
one.
I mean, I think we are aware, but I guess, I mean, if Croatia can hold Brazil to a zero, I don't think Croatia will be able to hold Brazil to a 0-0 penalty thing, which is what Morocco ended up doing to Spain. So
Like Japan had a pretty good game plan against Croatia, which was literally just like bypass their midfield. Like they're like, hey, if we just go around their midfield, they won't be able to stop us. And that's what they did, and they weren't able to stop them. Modric had to come off in the end because he looked gassed. And yeah, like for a team that old, and like you said that about the Lovren ball, but like Lovren has a mistake. Like if Lukaku had his, I don't know, found his shooting boots. Like
God,
Croatia wouldn't be in this tournament at all.
dude.
And like at least one or two of those chances were just Lovren's mistake. And I say this as someone who like has a soft spot for Lovren, but yeah, I mean I agree. I think Brazil's gonna shellack Croatia much the same way that they did to South Korea, but yeah,
Yeah,
I
I
don't
don't
see this
know.
being a particularly good match either.
I don't think it's going to be shellacking, but I think it will be a solid 2-0 win.
Like I feel like this is gonna be like team building for Brazil. I don't know. Actually, no. I'm talking too much. I'm gonna stop. Brazil's gonna lose. They're gonna the ghost of Firmino is gonna come in and haunt them for not being picked.
I don't know.
Danny
Richarlison already
Alves hat
scored an
trick. That's
overhead
my
kick.
prediction.
Kieran, what did you say? Sorry, I can only hear Chris.
Wait, so Chris, finish your thought. I feel like I drowned both of us drowned each other out.
I was just gonna say Danny Alves is getting the hat trick. That's my
Dude,
prediction.
I saw Danny Alves against South Korea at the end of the game. Maybe see him try like the fucking volley on the side of the box. Like went up for like a scissor kick type of like drain. Like, if he had scored that out, it would have been amazing. I don't know. But no, I was gonna say that I think I don't, honestly, I don't remember. Well, moving on. So, Croatia will win. Do we have score line predictions? I'm going 2-0.
7-0 Croatia.
God.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Brazil.
All right. Well, I mean, let's hope that happens. And also, I just wanted to shout out Lukaku for that miss against Croatia before we move on, because that may have been
Bro,
one of
which one? There was like 16.
the header is what I'm talking
Like
about.
it was like a choice collection.
But okay, moving on. The next game on our do on the docket would be Netherlands versus Argentina. Actually, which is a fairly good game. I honestly have no idea who's gonna win this game, because I don't think Argentina's looked all that great in this tournament. I think they've looked fine. I think they've won the games that, I mean, they lost to Saudi Arabia, but they haven't looked all that dominant in the games that they have won. Well, they've been kind of nervy wins. And Netherlands, on the flip side, has looked fairly like convincing, and like goal ability to score, ability to sit back, ability to play comfortably within their with Van Gaal's a tactical coach, he knows what he's doing. So I don't know. I'm like, at the same time though, it's Messi and it's Argentina. Like, what do you guys think?
I think this is probably the hardest to predict. Like, it objectively, if you're looking at the quarterfinals and you're like going through the list, I think this game, maybe France versus England, although I think England's going to get destroyed, actually. I think this is the hardest one to predict. I think just from what I've seen with Argentina, they have looked a little shaky. And watching the Netherlands versus the US, I felt like the Netherlands were a much more stable team. So, I mean, I think this is going to probably go to overtime. I think it'll be like 1-1 and then, you know, maybe penalty shootout. I don't know. But I'm going to probably slightly favor Netherlands here.
I could see this going to a penalty shootout. I think that's a very, like, I think that's a relatively realistic thing that could happen.
I don't necessarily see a penalty. Like, I just, against every logical instinct, I think Argentina will win. But, like, I don't know. Like, dude, in that game against the USA, like, the Netherlands were playing chess. The USA was playing Yahtzee. Like, I don't, it was just a different game. And I think, like, Argentina has not had, like, I haven't seen like a great tactical acumen from Argentina either, which doesn't matter when you have the most magical player to have ever touched a ball, arguably.
Well, speaking of Messi, have you guys felt about his tournament so far? It is a quarterfinal. I think we can judge him. I think he's played well.
He has. He's done really well.
Like, I don't think, like, he's just older, like, you know. This is where it gets weird for me with Argentina, because I see them as, like, they've had, like, a very gifted team for a very long time, and they just, like, haven't really done much with it. I know, like, it's been very unbalanced in the attack, but, like, I just totally see, like, some sort of Messi magic dragging Argentina through. But again, that's been said for the last, like, 3 World Cups, or, like, 2 World Cups, and it really hasn't necessarily happened. So I mean, I do, my prediction is Argentina, but I don't really know how my prediction comes true, to be honest. Like, I think I'm just spooked from that Yahtzee game we were playing.
I don't know. The Netherlands has looked like an offensive team. They've looked like a team that can score. Cody Gakpo's got 3 goals. I kind of had heard of him, but now I firmly know who Cody Gakpo is. And
Jesse Leeds, like, had contact with Cody Gakpo and were, like, really close to signing him. I don't remember exactly how that fell through, but, like, the sporting director was like at Gakpo's house, and it ended up not happening. And now Jesse Marsh is like, dude, I don't know if we can make it happen, man.
What's going to happen is Manchester United are going to buy him for 90 mil in January, and then his career is going to go downhill.
He's going to go somewhere else, do well, and then Chelsea's going to buy him, and his career is going to go downhill again.
And then his career is going to go downhill. Yep. That's a very accurate timeline.
I mean, okay, like, I have liked Messi. I think he will probably have a good game. I also think Julian Alvarez has looked pretty good. Argentina's attack's been good. It's just their midfield has been kind of... Dude, I didn't realize... Honestly, I had no idea who... What's his name? McAllister was until I saw him score against... fuck, I forgot who he scored against. But until I saw him score against Mexico, I think. It was the first time I'd ever heard of that player. And I was like, why the fuck is there a Scottish guy on the Argentinian team?
Chris, did you know who Alexis McAllister was?
I literally hadn't heard of him before.
Really? Because at one point in the season, he's a Brighton player for our listeners.
But yeah, I think maybe, like, I would have watched a Brighton game and been like, oh,
no. At one point, I asked Chris if he knew who he was, because at one point in the season, he was the only player who had scored for Man United, because he scored an own goal when Brighton were playing against them.
I think I would have seen him and just assumed he was some, like, UK British Isles person, because he plays on Brighton and his name is McAllister.
Yeah, no, I agree. Exactly. I didn't realize he was an Argentina player until, like, the squads were announced, and I was like, wait a second,
what's going on here?
This guy used to be United's leading goal scorer.
An absolute legend. That's funny. Can we talk about how Otamendi is like still their center back and he's or just like a walking liability?
Is he walking liability? Has he been bad?
Yeah, I've seen some errors. He's got Vidal, Arturo Vidal vibes, in my opinion.
Hey man, Arturo Vidal won a good amount of
you
stuff.
Cannot, I know he was good. You cannot tell me he's like both of these players are walking liabilities. I see them on the pitch. I'm like, this is an error waiting to happen.
Speaking of, Pepe still plays soccer.
Dude, Pepe scored today. Yeah, he had a great.
We'll get there, but yeah, he did good.
Good. Still looks like a fucking skinhead. It's great. So does anyone remember when Pepe, like, I remember he was on Porto, or like, not like in like the last 3-4 years, he's obviously been on Porto for a little bit so far. Also, how old is he? Does anyone know? But I remember he had a little bit of an afro 39. One day. I hadn't seen Pepe in a while, and I think he scored in like a Europa League game, and I saw the highlight. And I was like, wait a second. Is that Pepe? This big, bushy, brown afro, and he's gone back to skinhead mode for this World Cup, so he can kill as many people.
I think he had either the last Euros, or not last Euros, but the years before, or at the last World Cup or something. He had hair, and that was when he like headbutted a player and got sent off. He like headbutted him, but he just shook his hair in front of their face. It was like, and it was like a pretty unnecessary gesture, and he got sent off for that.
But so here, pros in Argentina. I'm actually going to go. I, against my better judgment, I actually think I'm going to go with Argentina as well. But I think it will be an extra time. Like, do we think this game will have goals or will it be a slugfest?
You said the same thing twice.
Or not? Do you think this game will have goals or do you think it'll be a snooze fest?
Snooze fest.
I don't think it'll be a snooze fest, but I think like.
I think there's going to be some hesitancy to press. It's going to be entertaining, though. It won't be a snooze fest.
Yeah, I think that it'll be, like, I guess, like, tactically interesting, but I feel like that won't really like come to fruition until after the game when we're like, oh, this happened. That was cool. But I think I agree. Like, during the game, I don't see many goals happening unless, like it's going to be, like, a moment of, like, messy magic if a goal is scored, like, early on.
Well, do we think the Netherlands attack can score against the Argentina defense?
I see no reason why it can't.
So, if they can – well, this is just soccer. Can the Argentina attack score against the Netherlands defense? And, well, also, this is Messi versus Van Dijk. That's another thing that it would be good. Messi's going to be attacking and staring – Virgil Van Dijk's going to be staring him right in the face. And he's probably going to be pretty pissed that he won a Ballon d'Or that he was supposed to probably have won. So,
I mean, we won the Champions League that year, so – over Messi.
Yeah, so I mean exactly. So I actually could see Van Dijk like stomping over Messi a little bit.
And I also don't think like Van Dijk was that upset to not win the Ballon d'Or.
Well, regardless, I think that Messi, I'm gonna actually go with Argentina as well, against my better judgment, just because like I just want Messi to go to the final. So I'm just gonna,
yeah, I don't know how much of this is like Messi magic, how much of this is judgment, and how much of this is I just really want Brazil versus Argentina semifinal.
Yeah, Brazil Netherlands semifinal doesn't seem quite as exciting.
Well, I mean, I think it still is, because Netherlands knocked Brazil out of 2010
final. Yeah,
yeah, when Felipe Melo decided to stamp on
the
Dutch player, I don't remember who, but they stamped on him and got sent off.
And Wesley Sneijder scored a free kick that I think the goalie like swung and missed for. So you remember that, or like he kicked it from the half, like almost the halfway line. But
oh, nostalgia.
Yeah. Oh, dude, Wesley Sneijder. Remember that guy? Most caps for Netherlands, I'm pretty sure. But okay. I mean, I'm going to go with I'm 2-1, but moving on, speaking of Portugal and Pepe, the next game would be Saturday at 10, which would be Morocco and Portugal. And Portugal, I feel like, has been flying under the radar until this big 6-1 win against Switzerland. I don't think people have really been talking about them as much, but the big headline is that Ronaldo didn't play today, which I was certainly not expecting. I did not think that was going to happen. So what do you guys think?
We did just talk too much about this guy, man.
Okay. He didn't play. Is this the end of Cristiano as a relevant player?
No, because it's Ronaldo. He's literally the most famous person in the world. He's always going to be irrelevant.
I
said irrelevant. I meant relevant. He's always going to be relevant. no matter where he is, he could be in, I don't know, he could be in like the Mauritian second tier, and like people will still be like, oh my God, Cristiano Ronaldo did this.
But I mean, I don't know. I mean, if he's not starting for, he is Mr. Portugal, right? That country worships him. He's not starting for the national team. Like, it's one thing for Man U to bench him, right?
That club worshipped him. Chris was there sniffing him while we were talking about how Ronaldo is the a manager. Problem. Chris was like, no, he's not a problem. It's different he's my hero.
For the Portugal national team to bench him. Like, it's one thing for the manager and the club to freeze him out and whatnot. Like, Man U has a brand that they can rely on. Cristiano is Mr. Portugal, right? Him not playing is a relatively big deal for that country. So,
I just think it's hilarious that the guy that they put on, who I'd never heard of, scored 3 goals. Like, that just makes the story 10 times better.
Yeah, that's wild.
The Benfica starting striker. Speaking of,
I think he's like a teenager too.
Benfica just randomly has. They just pull Portuguese strikers out of their ass and are just like, this guy will be okay.
Yeah, dude, we can't get one. Nation of 300 plus million, we can't get one of those guys. Portugal just keeps getting a bunch, and they're all going to Benfica. But, okay, so the reason I think it's less of a story than we think is because, like, apparently he made a comment, like, as he was getting subbed off in the South Korea game. And so the manager was like, I don't like that. And then he sat him. And then it just so happened that Gonçalo Ramos scored a hat trick. So I think it'll be really, really interesting. I mean, like, this is not the ideal storyline, but this would be like a super fascinating storyline. If it's a Portugal versus Argentina final, if Ronaldo doesn't start, like what does the manager do there? Because like it's potentially the greatest storyline, like possibly in the history of sports, and it's like Ronaldo just doesn't start. Like, that's crazy. Like, it just so happens, like, this is when Ronaldo is declining, and that sucks. That sucks so much. But I don't know. I just think that would be so crazy. You know, that would break the world.
Well, reading Gonzalo Ramos' stats off, he is 21. Last year was his really first. He's been on the senior team for 4 years, but last year is the first year he broke into the team and he scored 7 goals. But this season, he has 9 goals in 11 games for Benfica in Premier League play. So, yeah, that's who that guy is. If anyone else was wondering, time for him to go to Wolves and become their star striker.
No, he's gonna go to like Madrid for 100 mil.
He scored a hat trick against Switzerland.
Yeah.
Also, Switzerland isn't like a slouch team.
They're not bad, man. No,
I think they're really not. Much worse version of Croatia, though, or like Belgium or something like that. Like a very old team. So,
yeah, I guess.
I don't know. But the Portugal, I was a little upset. I mean, they're going to probably, I mean, I don't know. Morocco could beat them, bro. It seems like Morocco is upset with its European colonizers in the way that it has now beaten Spain and is going to probably, maybe it's like, all right, let's just pick them off one by one. Spain, Portugal, France, let's get rid of all three.
Yeah, exactly. this is their vengeance for Islamic conversion. Also, I didn't know this, but apparently Morocco, like Spain's largest immigrant group is Moroccans.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's across it's Spain.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's just like I wasn't aware of that, and then apparently, like, the Moroccans went insane in the city center, which, like, yeah,
dude. I mean, like, reasonable. it's the way I was thinking, talking about my dad, or like not my dad, where like I was thinking about it is that this is like a derby game for all three of those countries, right? So it's like Spain is Barcelona and Morocco, and Morocco's like Espanyol or something like that. And it's like Espanyol beating Barcelona. I think that'd be pretty. It's cool. It's kind of cool little thing that's going on in the bracket. I kind of hope they. I'm starting to. I was really in the mood for a Spain Portugal quarterfinal. I think that would have been insane, especially with those two teams. But I think Morocco kind of now worked for Morocco to beat Portugal. Get rid of those Europeans on the other side of the Mediterranean. But and then, you know, play France and lose to France, your ultimate colonizer. So Here, moving on to the last game and arguably probably the biggest game of the quarterfinals, England versus France. I don't think the English have a chance, to be honest. I think the French are going to completely, I think they're going to run riot. I could see this being like a 3-0.
I think you just haven't seen England play, dude.
I mean, I watched them play the US.
You watched them play the USA, which they didn't play so hot.
And I saw them play Iran, which was like, I saw them play every single game. I saw them play, and who did they play in the last game? Senegal? I guess they 3-0 Senegal. Yeah, that's a pretty impressive result. But I still think France has looked very good, as you guys have said. I think they've looked pretty dominant in all their games, and I think I could see Mbappe running circles around Harry Maguire. So
it's really
Harry Maguire is the GOAT, bro. I don't know what you're talking about, but Mbappe is not getting past him.
England basically have narrowed this. Actually, I guess the soccer world, like in general, has kind of narrowed this down to Mbappe versus Kyle Walker. Well, mostly just like stop Mbappe, and that turned into Mbappe versus Kyle Walker, because like the rest of the field, I think they're pretty evenly matched. But like, as a lot of people have said at this point, like Mbappe is probably the best player in the world. And that might just be because Haaland isn't playing this tournament. But Mbappe right now is the best player in the world. He's playing the best football in the world. But I mean, like, I don't know. Do you guys think Walker can stop him? Like, Walker's fast, and a very good defender and very strong. But yeah,
I mean, I like Kyle Walker, but I think Mbappe will score at least one. So, and if Mbappe scores at least one, I don't think Kyle Walker would have stopped him. So.
Imagine if they play Mbappe down the center. I was like, shit, it'll be a shootout between Mbappe and Harry Maguire.
I mean, I think if Harry Maguire has a situation, because England's not like a balanced team in my head. I don't think they like play from front to back. I think they try pushing up a little bit. I think France is a very like fluid team in the way that they go around. But I can see Harry Maguire being the last defender. And Rabiot or some whatever the fucking French players are, Mbappe's hanging on this dude's shoulder. All the other English players are trying to, you know, get a goal or whatever. And Harry Maguire's like, guys, you guys like Mbappe's like right there. I don't think I can beat him in a race.
Mom, can you help?
And then Kyle Walker is pushed up the field because he thought he could probably get a cross into whoever their striker is. Honestly,
I doubt it. I just, well, if they were playing like, let's put a cross in from our fullbacks, they'd play Trippier. I would say Trent, but he's not going to play Trent. So he's going to play, you'd play Trippier. And so I don't know. I just
think it's also another thing. Mbappe has proven in this tournament, especially in the last game, that he doesn't need to be a breakaway player to score a goal. He can beat three players and then have a curling shot from the outside of the box. I think he can do that pretty easily against the English team. So
I don't know. Like he does have, like, it's not like Rice and Bellingham or slouches either.
That's true, and Bellingham has been playing very well. So
yeah. And you haven't been hearing much about Declan Rice, and I think in general for a CDM, that's like a good thing, because that just means he hasn't made any mistakes, you know.
Yeah. I would say maybe they won't run right, because I think overall the England midfield might be a little bit better than the French one currently. So
yeah, I think so.
Radio, bro.
I mean, he's like Prince, right? He actually has had a good tournament. But I don't know. I don't know who's going to – but I still think France will win. I still think France will – I also still think France is going to slack England. So I think it'll be like – again, I don't know how much this is bias of me wanting France to just completely crush England, because I just like it when English people are depressed.
Damn. I think the whole like football is coming home thing, I think like – they mean it as like it's like tongue in cheek, kind of. It's ironic, but at the same time, like,
I think they believe it on some level.
I think it's come to the point where it's not that ironic. And like when it first came to the fore and it was ironic, I thought it was like hilarious. Now I just need them to shut up. And I don't want France to win. Like, the thing is, like, I just want both these teams to lose. Because I think. I just want either of them to win, but I don't know. Coming from two countries who've had their people notably oppressed by the British, I'd prefer it if they got.
English fans are just kind of like Dallas Cowboy fans to me. For anyone who watches American football, they just like love
talking. That's a great metaphor.
Love talking about
living it. In the past. Yep.
Or like, you know how the Cowboys are America's team. Like England sees themselves as like
the world's soccer team.
The world's football team we created. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like, yeah. like you guys have, you're a favorite every single year. Every single year you have a generational team, and every year you lose in like the quarterfinals or something like that. This is a prime place for England to lose in them, for all to be like, oh wow, this team, Gareth Southgate should lose his job, yada yada. Like, we should be doing so much better. And it's like, no, you're always gonna lose in this situation. So,
well, okay.
You're describing Manchester United.
Who are also the Dallas Cowboys of soccer.
I think that, like, to be fair, I think Southgate's been pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's fine. It's, I think the English media will rip him apart if he loses to France.
They had a team of Owen, Rooney, Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard, Ferdinand, Terry, and they won nothing. His team has gotten much closer.
They also have had teams of Beckham and like,
right, he was there too.
Yeah, you every year England goes into a World Cup or a Euros and is in a phenomenal team. It's like they're always a great team. They should probably make the semifinals, and then they don't. And then everybody's like, and then every year they do it again. So I'm just hoping and the year that doesn't happen will not be a great time for the rest of the world.
All right. So that was our Zoom break again. So anyway, who do you guys have winning El Colonizico?
Oh God. France. Everyone, I think everyone's. Or, do you guys all have France?
Everyone's, yeah, France? I got France.
Yeah, I'm thinking France 3-1.
I'll be wearing my PSG shirt for this game.
Ultimate colonizers.
Yeah. What? PSG?
No, I mean, I guess a little, but no, nothing. No.
Those two teams, yeah, okay, yeah.
Very yeah, good. Those two teams are also colonizers.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the biggest ones the world has ever seen. I guess it's me as well, but they're gone.
I mean, anyway, it would be pretty cool if it was like Brazil versus Portugal in the final. It would be like Brazil versus their colonizers.
Yeah, I think they'd have a fun time being Portugal as well.
Oh my God, yeah.
But okay, well, I mean, that's kind of what the quarterfinals, what we're, I think we all kind of have Brazil. I think Argentina and Netherlands is kind of like up for grabs for us, and then Portugal and France are going through. So we'll see what happens in this World Cup going forward we'll see what's going to happen going forward. Now, looking back, let's look at some of the storylines of the tournament. So the big teams that are out, Germany got knocked out relatively early, big loss to Japan early on. Spain are out. They obviously lost to the Morocco earlier today on a very crappy penalty shootout for them. Belgium, you know, after KDB came out and said, we're not going to win this World Cup, we're too old, and everyone flipped out. So
they didn't win this World Cup because they were too old.
Well, exactly. And then Uruguay got knocked out or Germany got knocked out in a very dubious thing, and I think Uruguay also got knocked out very dubiously. From what I
Germany.
It was a VAR thing. Yeah,
from what I know,
Cavani like punched the VAR thing.
I think something like happened there with Ghana.
Ghana just screwed Uruguay, and it was hilarious. As someone who's rooting for Uruguay in that game, what Ghana did was so funny. They were losing 2-0. And they time wasted because they knew that Uruguay wouldn't go through if they didn't get another goal.
Correct.
Because South Korea scored right before like Uruguay did. But
was the South Korean goal against Portugal dubious? I'm trying to remember if it was.
I don't think so.
Let me go think about that.
It was the Japan goal that may have been dubious, but it wasn't. Like, I don't even understand what the uproar was about. Like, that ball wasn't over line. It's kind of it.
And then also, I mean, I guess Denmark crashed out as well. That's another team. I actually wasn't that high on this Danish team. Like, I thought it was fine, but I guess you guys are a little bit more high on it.
You don't have to be high on it to think that they would beat Australia.
Yeah, in a game to go through, I think that's true. But they did lose. But Uruguay, I mean, I think the biggest one, I think Spain is kind of upsetting. Luis Enrique, we'll see if he keeps his job or not. But the biggest one is Germany and Hansi Flick, the fact that they couldn't make it past the group stage and had a loss to Japan, and then, I mean, I guess they drew Spain in what they won their last game, but then Spain, but Japan beat Spain to go through, so. I mean, I guess Germany and Spain, Belgium and Uruguay and Denmark. I feel like those are like, those are sad, but they're relatively obvious as to why they happened. Whereas I think Germany and Spain, it's kind of like a where do we go from here? Especially with Germany, this is the second straight World Cup where they haven't gotten out of the group.
Yeah,
And then they won in 2014.
the Germany thing is pretty nuts. I think that that's like, that's, I don't even know where to go. Like, I think American fans have like not entitlement, but I think that like, I think because we're American, we like think we belong in like some sort of elite in everything that like we do, like as a country. And like we have to remember, like Italy didn't qualify for this World Cup. Netherlands didn't qualify for the last World Cup. Italy didn't qualify for the last World Cup. Germany didn't get out of the group this time. Germany didn't get out of the group last time. Spain didn't get out of the group last time. Like, I feel like we have to kind of like contextualize like that. That's also part of like why I'm not so negative on like anything that happened during this World Cup, because like I always try to contextualize it in that like if these powerhouses, like obviously they're not okay, and I'm sure it's like a big meltdown, but like if this happened to like these powerhouses, like it's like totally feasible that it happened to us. Like what happened in Trinidad and Tobago that night is like was just a freak accident, you know? Yeah, we should have picked up more points like here and there. But at the same time, like even this round, we totally could have gone out on the last game if like Costa Rica scored four on us, which like is probably honestly was probably honestly more likely than what happened at Trinidad and Tobago that night. So like, I think to I mean Alexi Lawless just I mean this guy just doesn't shut up, and he'll just whether it's just like going on about how Qatar is like the greatest country in the history of the world, or whether he I don't even listen to the broadcast that much. I just like watch the games, but just every time I turn it on, it's always in my the US didn't qualify for 2018, which is in my opinion the greatest failure in US soccer history. Like shut like I don't even listen, and I've heard that so many freaking times, you know? And if these countries like didn't get out of the group, like this Uruguay team is a really good team. There's Suarez, Nunez, Cavani, Valverde was arguably the best midfielder in the world coming into this tournament. And I don't know. I think that like as the US we take a lot of like what we have for granted as like not a soccer powerhouse. And yeah, sorry. That's my little soapbox. But anyway, go ahead.
I think you're right. I mean, part of it just stems from, I mean, like when we watch the Olympics, it's like we're just like, where are all of our gold medals? Like, let me get that gold medal. Like, oh, if we don't like get a gold medal in the event, it's like, well, why didn't we get a gold medal in that? It's just like there's this American expectation that we are the best and we need to
In the
win
Olympics, I think that's
everything.
something that's like that's that I think that expectation is actually pretty good. I think it shows that we have some sort of not superiority, but it shows that we're the best athletic we are the best athletes in the world. We produce the best athletes.
No, the thing is, like, the problem is when it expands to soccer, which also I think an opposing theory would also be that we have like an inferiority complex in soccer, and we are always trying to like prove ourselves, which is
Yeah.
also like I think I definitely feel
That's
that
valid though. I think we
as
do
well.
have that. So, but I think the Olympics, it's more like this is the expectation because this is the standard. Whereas in soccer, it's like the standard is unlike we've never achieved this. Why do we have it?
We're just I feel like we like pretend there's a standard in soccer where it's like every time we get out of the group, like it is an accomplishment. I'm not saying be happy with it and don't aim for more, but I'm just saying that like anyone like poo-pooing getting out of the group, or like anyone being like, oh, like this team did so like well despite Greg, like I just don't think that's fair.
Well, I
Because
think it's just like
like
you
Hansi Flick
want
is a
to.
good manager, man. Like he got Bayern out of like a lot of crap from Niko Kovac, and he like he did so. I don't know. I think if those countries can rebound, presumably, from stuff like that, then like I think the US will be fine,
Well,
personally.
you want to see progression, right? This is the best ever team we've probably ever had, and it once again went out in the same stage as those other teams that were not as good. So, I mean, does anyone remember DeMarcus Beasley or fucking Omar Gonzalez? Like, those used to be our starters. And
DeMarcus Beasley just got into the U.S. Soccer Hall of Fame, okay? Put some respect on his name.
But still, like, those used to be our starters. Those used to be the players. Wando used to come off the bench. By the way, Chris Wondolowski owns the record for most goals in an MLS season, I'm pretty sure.
I think he has most goals in the MLS history also, but I might be wrong.
Which is, I think Landon Donovan might have that.
Also possible. That makes a lot more sense. I hope so.
I'm pretty sure Donovan owns that record. And I think Donovan also owns the most appearances records on the MLS and assists. I think Donovan is Mr. MLS. But what was I going to say? Like, I don't know. For Germany, I think the situation for Germany is much worse. Like, if I was a German soccer fan, I would be like absolutely depressed right now. Two straight World Cups with a group stage exit. I don't know. Like, they're standing.
They won in 2014.
Bro. I know, but like, again, like, it's like,
imagine, I wish we had that.
Imagine we didn't win the gold medal count at the Olympics as we do every year. Like, they have a standard.
That's why I use that metaphor.
And you're correct. I'm just saying, like, they have a standard that we don't have. And I think, like, Prem, you're kind of right that we do hold ourselves to a higher standard, I think, because that's just how we view sports in general. But it probably isn't fair to the team anyway, but you want progression, right? So how are you going to see progression without having a standard to uphold?
I want to talk to a German. I mean, I have a friend who lives in Germany right now. He's a big Bayern fan, but I guess I'll see if I can talk to him and get some more insight. But I think just like this team isn't like a bad I feel like the Germany thing is very confusing because like where do you go from here, you know? Like, it's not like you have a bad team, it's not like you have a bad manager. Like, what's wrong with your program that you can't get out?
If you look at the results themselves, right, what happened in that loss to Japan that made them lose? Because that's why they didn't qualify. Did anyone watch that game?
I did, but I couldn't necessarily tell you. I think that was more of like Japan magic, really. I don't know. You have top five youngster in the world in Jamal Musiala. Serge Gnabry is still like a good player. I think
he's actually relatively underrated, to be honest.
Yeah, Joshua Kimmich, arguably one of the best defensive midfielders in the world. And then, who was it? Was it Balak? It was a German legend. I don't remember which one. Maybe it was Oliver Kahn or something. I don't remember who it was. But someone said that Antonio Rudiger is the only good Premier League. The only good defender on Germany. All the other defenders are Bundesliga quality, which I think is the funniest.
That's pretty,
like,
pretty
rip on German football I've ever heard.
That's awesome.
But like. Like, at least like with the US, you know, we know that like we haven't hit the peak and like we know what we can do to get there, you know. Whereas Germany, like, you have phenomenal players. You just I don't know what's up with them, you know. Like Kai Havertz, we make jokes about him a lot, but he's actually like a good player. Or he should be, but he's on Chelsea, so he's not gonna be.
I mean, I think he proves in tournaments like this that he is a good player. But I don't know. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's really any reason as to what happened, Germany. Maybe it's just bad luck. Maybe that's just what happened. They had a support. You're right. Japan just had magic. They drew Spain because Spain's a relatively similar level team to them, and then they won against whoever the last team in that group was.
See, but that's what I'm saying. Like, us losing to Trinidad and Tobago was bad luck. Like, three or four different things had to go wrong that night.
Yeah, but I think
goals were freak goals.
I think there's a gulf, and I think there is a difference to Trinidad and Tobago and Japan, like in terms of like the relative aspects of those two nations and Germany and Japan is. I think the Japan loss is more explainable, especially with the tournament that Japan proceeded to go on and have, with wins against Spain and with like it's not like Trinidad and Tobago went and qualified for the World Cup. Then I think that would be a little bit more comparable. But
I do take your point though, like at the same time, like, we've had past teams that weren't as good that, like, and we made it out of a harder group in 2014.
Harder group more convincingly, I would even say.
No. that we didn't play like great like this one we put the world on notice that like this is like team that can play, you know.
In 2014 we did I think had Ronaldo not equalized for Portugal in the like dying embers of that game in 2014, we could have probably put the notice on there because we played really well against Portugal. I mean, that's been 8 years since that game, but I don't know if anyone remembers it when fucking, I forgot, somebody put the ball on a dime for Ronaldo.
Nani. No, it was the other way around. No. Ronaldo put the ball on a dime for Adair.
Nani.
Adair. No, you're right.
It was Adair.
Okay, I think it was Adair.
I don't know why Ronaldo put the ball on a dime for Adair in the dying embers of the game. Then maybe you would have been talking about this 4 years, 8 years ago. But But to be honest, it's not like we had a better result than that World Cup. I think honestly, like we scored goals in that World Cup. We scored 2 goals against Portugal.
Well, so yeah, that's the point. I went on the thing about Germany, but I think the thing that's really funny is that like our best players, like in the past, were Dempsey and Donovan, who are both goal scorers, who are both like pure goal scorers, and that's the only thing missing we have.
Dude, if they're on this team,
actually, really sucks, and that's so frustrating.
It's also really annoying in every post game how they just show up on screen. How you're like, oh wow, the US didn't score any goals this game, and all of a sudden it's the first thing you see is Dempsey and Donovan just looking you in the face.
they pull up their stat lines all the time, like US tied leading goal scorer, 57 goals in 157 games.
What's up, guys? It's your boys. The goal scorers.
And it's definitely like I haven't listened to all the games with commentary because sometimes like I've been in public places, but I know for a fact Ian Dark definitely turned to Donovan being like, you would have put that away, wouldn't you? Donovan's like, yeah, maybe.
Dude, also, I mean, I know we already talked about it, but like seeing Dempsey and Donovan and then having Alexi Lalas just standing there next to them, I don't want him. I want him to get off the screen as quickly as possible because he, not only is he annoying, but then why is he standing? Those two are greats. Those are US greats.
Alexi Lalas is also a US great.
Like, what about him as a US great? I've never. All right, to be fair, I don't know Alexi Lalas stats. Let me look up some Alexi.
He was a defender, like he, or maybe like a defensive midfielder, but he was a legendary player. It's just like he's a shill who got bought up by Fox, and then his takes like are just like.
Oh, Alexi Lalas is a Rutgers alumni. I didn't know that.
Oh, I did know that specifically because when Carly Lloyd was on the Fox broadcast. Alexi Lalas was like, go Rutgers. And then I was like, oh, look at that. We got shouted out on the World Cup broadcast. That was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, like take nothing away from him as a player. I just think that he shouldn't be there because his takes are the same thing every single time.
I think it would be really great if we had Tim Howard there. That would just really like put the nostalgia in the take Alexi Lalas.
NBC owns him.
I know. But Tim Howard is great. It would have been a great time having seen the three of them for this World Cup. But anyway, to finish, I mean, let's move on to the other storylines were how well the Asian teams did in this World Cup. We can just touch on it briefly. Really, I think I just want to focus on Japan or just give shout outs to Japan. They managed to beat Germany and Spain in the same World Cup group and top the group, which was pretty great. And then we had South Korea beat Portugal to go out to win the world, to not win the group, but to progress on. They did end up getting crushed by Brazil, and Australia won a basically a knockout game against Denmark. So Asian teams did really well in this World Cup. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts.
We should also give a shout out to, I'll do the other thing later, but yeah, I mean, like, I think that it's good for like the parity of the game, in that like, it's not just like the elite. I mean, it is still the elites, like bossing the world around. Now it's only like South American, European teams, and one North African team. Those are always good signs. Because it is like what we like to call the world's game, but it hasn't necessarily always been the world's game, just because like, just geopolitically, that's just like not how things work ever. But that's good.
I will say, I mean, like, I don't think there is a team that is undefeated. Actually, I'm looking at this. The only undefeated team left in this World Cup is Morocco. So
there we go, baby.
Because Brazil has a loss, Portugal has a loss, Argentina has a loss, France has a loss. The Netherlands are, no, I'm sorry. The Netherlands,
England doesn't have a loss.
England and the Netherlands are undefeated. So,
yeah.
Never mind. Goddamn.
But still, shout out Morocco. I mean, I
really wanted it's kind of kudos for that, that they are undefeated.
It's kind of cool to see Morocco go this far too, and I know
they're, dude, they're a great finals. Team. Like
they're a really good team.
I was trying and, to like, again. I was explaining to my exciting. Dad. It like Morocco is probably on the level of like a Champions League level team. I would say like a Bayer Leverkusen or like a Sevilla maybe.
Sporting.
Yeah, something like something that. Like they, that. They're quite good. I think they're significantly better than the U.S. team actually. When I look at them on paper, not significantly, but.
Really, I don't know. I feel like I'd like our chances against Morocco.
I don't know. I see that they just have like good players.
I think if we lost Morocco in the round of 16, we'd be disappointed.
That's probably true. That is definitely true. However, I mean, yeah, Asian teams did well. The African teams did relatively well. I mean, Cameroon won against Brazil. Ghana didn't really do all that great, I guess. But.
they came and did what they accomplished, okay?
Yeah. They got the supporters Luis
left that stadium on their last game, they chanting got and happy and cheering, and that's what matters. That's what football is all about.
Racist Suarez is. Guy puts in like a 5-star performance despite being like 38 years old just because it's Ghana. Like, this guy is so racist. He's terrible.
I think the parity of the world game is getting better, which is nice to see. And talking about teams that did bad that everyone wanted to do bad, the Arab teams did bad. Well, not the Arab teams, but the they are the Arab teams, but the Iran, I'll shout them out individually, and then the human rights violations associated with them. Iran has imprisoned 15,000 people. 15,000 women and like young women in protests, and is doing a lot of heinous shit at the moment. And I mean, their team was doing some protests. So I kind of have a mixed feelings about it. I think we've talked about it a little bit. Qatar, obviously they should never have this World Cup, went out in the first round and win a game. Thank God. Saudi Arabia had a big thing where they won it, but at the end of the day, still crashed out at the bottom of the group. Notorious human rights violations there. I don't think I even need to go through it. None of the Arab teams got out of the group, and I'm happy about that. The only one where I feel kind of mixed on it is Iran, actually. Where it's like,
I'd like to condemn this use of a monolith of Arab, like Morocco. We just spoke highly of Morocco, which is like
Middle Eastern pretty teams. Oil City team. That's a good thing to call me out on. I will not Arab, but more oil monarchy governing human rights violation states, because Morocco is not that. It is the things from the middle of the Arabian Peninsula. But
I would like to say like the Iranian team did protest, and also the shout out to the Iranian people that are for everything.
My question was actually I had a quick question. Does anyone know what happened to the Iranian team, or like how they're? I know they were getting death threats to their families, or not their torture threats. Does anyone know how that's
going? Yeah, they got. I don't know what the update was on that, but I read that because they were essentially protesting during. As they were performing, I know that their government told them that they'd be tortured. So let me do some digging.
Well, okay. So the Iranian team, it's really because a lot of them are like international soccer players. And it's really easy for them to, they live in other countries, but their families don't, like as you referenced, Kieran. So the government threatened to torture their families. So like you could see the Iranian, players started singing the national anthem after, but like I think the Iranian team was in a really hard situation in that when you represent a country and you're playing a sport, like you inherently represent like that country as a whole, and for in most cases that's like pretty easy to do, like you represent that whole country, that's kind of it. But Iran was kind of fractured into like almost two opposing forces, right? Like the government versus the people, and like the football is always like a micro, like I think part of the reason we love it so much is because it's like a microcosm of like what's going on and like what our country stand for and this and that. And like it's really hard to know what you stand for when the people are in opposition with the government. And I think that like Iran by far the team did as best they could to like kind of try to reconcile that, until obviously they were threatened with death. And I don't know, I thought it was pretty cool that like the people, like the Iranian people who are against the Islamic Republic, they were like cheering against, or so they were cheering against the Iranian team while also recognizing that like the Iranian players were for them, which is like a really weird, delicate balance to strike that like hopefully like none of us will ever need to know how that feels or like anything like that. And there were like fireworks when the USA scored against Iran. There were fireworks that went off, in Mahsa Amini's hometown, which is like, I think like at first glance it's really cool, but at the same time it's like really, really upsetting, that you're cheering against your country, and not in like a oh, I hate America, so I'm gonna cheer against America kind of way, but like we're like these are actual real life and death like circumstances, and that's what they had to contend with. But yeah, I mean like Qatar going out, I think that was, despite their PR campaign, I think that one thing that frustrates me is that a lot of people are like, oh, look how great of a World Cup this is turning out, and people were shitting all over it before it happened. Like do they think that like people, like we aren't
Well, I
able
mean,
to separate like
it's
the
a
things
World
that happened
Cup, though.
before the World
Like,
Cup to like
if you have good
the
soccer teams
games?
playing,
Like the games aren't the problem, you
if
know?
you have good soccer teams playing each other, there's always going to be good teams. It's a World Cup. That's the point of the World Cup. That I don't think there's ever been a non-exciting World Cup in history. Like that's
It's
why.
just like they're like, oh, like it's basically like, oh, like they think we can't sports wash, watch us sports wash, and then they think they've accomplished like I think that, yeah, I'm sure like some of it will be forgotten because this is a genuinely very good tournament, but it's not because of like
But like,
because you murdered this many immigrant workers.
but again, every World Cup is relatively is a fairly entertaining and good tournament. They had nothing to do with what happens in the games themselves. My thing was like the reason you're right. Like I shouldn't say Arab states, but or I'm more talking about those that Middle Eastern. It's not even all those. It's not about the people. It's about the governments themselves. This was a big PR campaign by them to say like, look at us. We're especially with the way that they're currently influencing the soccer world at the moment, right? Qatar owns the PSG national PSG and it owns the French leagues. And like Saudi Arabia is buying out a lot of English teams. And Iran obviously has, it's not really soccer related with them. Theirs is more purely human
Which is
rights.
ironic because they probably have the most like the best players and like the actual soccer culture. They just have the least money like pouring into soccer,
But
which sucks,
true.
you know.
I mean, but like again, like what I was gonna say is like this World Cup was kind of like for the Middle East was supposed to be like a way to say, look, include us in like the way that the soccer world works, which I mean, like I think if they had gone about it in a better way and not bribed a bunch of people and then killed a bunch of people to create a World Cup, we would have maybe been like, oh, okay, yes, the Middle East is a place that should be like seen as like a non-oppressive place and should be included in like soccer politics. But they didn't. They proceeded to kill everyone, impose restrictions, do a bunch of like really bad things, not bad, but like controversial things during the World Cup, shut down Danish television things. In general, it was just like not a good look all around. And I think all the teams did bad, and I think that's not surprising. So.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we should be like celebrating that. Like, I understand like the Schadenfreude that comes from Qatar doing poorly.
Mostly, I'm happy about Qatar doing poorly.
Yeah, I think like that's like the big one. I don't think we should
Same.
be celebrating with the other one necessarily. Like,
Really, I think celebrating Saudi Arabia doing poorly is also quite as easily
I
as that.
think the sport like soccer in general, like has been gatekept in a sense. And I think that I definitely agree with what you said in terms of, like it's definitely unfair that like the rest of the world didn't necessarily like let them in, but like there's a better way to say, hey, let us in than bribing your way into it,
Well, I
and
mean,
yeah.
I don't know. It's just like it's more those, particularly Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Iran is like a different thing, right? It's its own animal, its own beast, and the people are the story itself is its own like cultivation. Saudi Arabia and Qatar, I think, are actual threats to the world of soccer in the way that they operate. Like, they are buying teams, and like, you know, like, you even know your team might be bought by a Saudi Arabian trust fund. We have no idea. And like that.
Well, no, no. Saudi Arabian Qatari joint fund.
Those are the countries that I'm talking about. And yeah. I watching them do bad in a World Cup that they bought gave me some joy. And I think that's okay. As Iran, I do think that's true. I think it is a much more, and like, it's one, I think you're right. I'm glad that you corrected me on air, because I'm not including Morocco in this, and I'm not including Tunisia, and I'm not including Algeria and stuff. Algeria is not in this World Cup, and in general, like, those countries aren't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the oil states that are buying soccer at the moment, and they bought this World Cup. They're buying the teams, and they did badly. And nobody ever needs to talk about them again in terms of,
I mean, we will, like, I probably, like, this isn't the last, like, it's not like they lost and then, like, you know, this was never about soccer to begin with. And like, yeah, okay, maybe this might've been a roadblock, but it's just gonna,
it's gonna get worse. It's just a sad thing. I don't know. Yeah, but okay, let's finish off on something positive. As opposed after all this death,
my positive thing is that, Lukaku came in and did his best his vengeance for Wadalowski impression. That was nice.
That's actually really good. That's because Lukaku's the player who scored to knock us out in those games, I'm pretty sure, right? So
I have no idea. I only remember the Julian Green goal from that and the Wadalowski miss.
No, I'm pretty sure in that Belgium game, Lukaku's the one who scored the winner. So
he did in overtime, 97th minute, I think.
So that's stars. That's good justice summary. But I mean, again, ending on a positive note, who maybe not team of the tournament, but which players have stuck out to you guys the most? Who's had the James Rodriguez performance so far?
James Rodriguez performance?
Or James Rodriguez-esque. Maybe not James. Who's been the breakout stars of this World Cup? I think Cody Gakpo is a big one for me.
Is it like weird to say Richarlison? Like, I know he's been like a top team. I mean, he's been a top team for like a couple months. He was at Everton before that, but like he's been just like, he went crazy this World Cup. And yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe he is like a Pogba type, but
yeah. I mean, I think that's a good shout. I think Gakpo would be mine. Tyler Adams had a great World Cup, as everyone, I think he kind of burst, like, there are a lot of things about the English fans, like, talking about how great, how good he looked, right? So
I think honestly, the entire US team.
Really?
I'm really proud of them. Like, I think,
really? Yeah. I see, like, I know we had this argument earlier. I'm not as high on Yunus Musa as I think the rest of you guys are. I think he's fine. I think he did okay, but I think, like, I don't know. I think Tyler Adams and Wes McKennie had significantly better tournaments.
Sorry, this is just a new take that came to me right now, but I think ironically, if we'd played like worse football, we would have gotten further. But because we played such expansive, exciting football, like, the world is on notice now. The world took note of that. But also, we're out. So, you know, I mean, I don't mind. I like it, but yeah.
I mean, oh, Enner Valencia showed up for his
right.
His
Ochoa.
For his, Eder Valencia Ochoa, they showed up for their, you know, every 4 years. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy still exists. Forgot about, you know,
Chris and I saw him score live against against we US. Did. Yeah. That's Donovan's last game.
Donovan's last game, quote unquote. Dumfries, Mohamed Cutis. Oh,
Denzel Dumfries.
That guy.
Kudus, yeah.
The guy on IX, Mohamed.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he was going crazy in the Champions League already before this. Scored a banger.
It's funny because they interviewed him before the game and they were like, he said I'm a better player than Neymar. He's just higher profile than me. And then he like popped off. He literally like crushed it. So he wasn't wrong. I mean, he was wrong, but you know, you get what I'm saying.
I mean, I actually honestly, from, I'm kind of thinking about from this Morocco team that's in the quarterfinals, for an African team to be in the quarterfinals, it's a big deal. Who's like been their player?
Hakimi and Ziyech. I don't know who else.
Like, have those players been doing well?
I mean, the Bono and the
that goalkeeper. There were four penalties missed. He saved three of them. That's for, and he guessed the right way for the one he didn't save.
The Busquets penalty was pretty crap. I saw that one.
They were all pretty awful. They weren't great penalties. And then Hakimi hit a Panenka down. It was a pretty bad Panenka. It was still Panenka down the middle to win it.
To win it, yeah. It's cool. But Youssef El Nesri, I think, was another guy who was doing okay. And Bukayo Saka has, I mean, currently Mbappe's on top with 5 goals.
Alvaro Rashford's had a good.
Yeah. Then basically, Mbappe's got 5 goals, and a fuck ton of players have 3 goals currently, which are Morata, Bukayo Saka, Cody Gakpo, Ener Valencia.
Gonzalo Ramos.
Gonzalo Ramos, who scored his hat trick today. Messi, Marcus Rashford, and Giroud. Oh, and Richarlison.
Shout out Messi for getting his first knockout goal. World Cup knockout goal.
Yeah, it was a great goal, too, in the way. It was a very messy goal. Just everyone kept passing the ball to him until he scored. Free kick into the box, goes back out, passes back out to Messi, passes back in, passes back in, back to Messi, and then scores.
I've been hearing a lot about Enzo Fernandez on Argentina, but I can't actually give my evaluation of him because I haven't really watched him that closely. But if you guys have watched him, then
I'm just gonna go with Alexis McAllister because I didn't know he existed. In
that doesn't even make sense. He's just a guy you didn't. That's like
I don't know he existed. Now I know he exists.
You know what? I'm gonna give my player of the tournament to Daniel Schmidt from Japan. Who is an actual player in Japan?
Wait, is he actually?
Yeah, that wasn't a joke. That was just.
What?
That was my response to your Alexis McAllister.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Daniel Schmidt from Japan.
This is the Japanese Daniel.
Japanese international Daniel Schmidt.
That's pretty great.
McAllister.
Japanese McAllister. But okay, I mean, I think this has been a pretty good World Cup podcast so far. I think we're back in form. Hopefully, Hunter is. Currently in a finals week of grad school, so everyone wish him luck on his exams, because God knows I don't want to be in grad school. But
good work, Hunter.
Hopefully we will see you guys before in the next World Cup final. By the time we record another process, I think a quarterfinal and the semifinals will be done.
You might see us before the Champions League final.
Hopefully we'll see you. We'll record before the final. But
before the Champions League final next year, not 2023, but 2024, actually.
Welcome to our 2026 World Cup preview.
That's the next one.
Unless anyone has anything else to add before I sign off.
Shout out Rutgers for winning the Big Ten men's soccer tournament on Olympico. Are you rah-rah?
Yeah, whatever that means. Nice. Well, all right. We'll see you guys later. Thanks for tuning in to Chips Keeper Pod. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.